I'm Jennifer Hambrick, midday host of Classical 101, WOSU Public Media in Columbus. I'm speaking with violinist Nicola Benedetti about her new recording of the Violin Concerto and Fiddle Dance Suite by American trumpeter and composer Wynton Marsalis. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
How did this collaboration with Wynton Marsalis come about?
I've known him a long time, about 15 years actually, and he and I have followed each other's musical paths. We have conversed on all things to do with education, which we both have a keen interest in, and I've attended so many of Wynton's concerts over the years. I've been a huge fan of his quintet, but in particular his septet, and I attended a performance of his swing symphony for London Symphony Orchestra and a Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra with Simon Rattle conducting, and it was such a memorable and such a powerful performance, and it sent a kind of feeling into the concert hall that I had not experienced in that hall before, and I've been to hundreds of concerts there over the years, so I just set about asking if he would be keen to write a violin concerto, and I knew that he had a long-standing love for the violin, an interest in the violin, so it was something I knew he wanted to do. It was just a case of actually carving out the time. And then, so it was a process of getting all of that kind of sewn up and pulled together, and then the work on trying to fathom what sort of structure we were looking for from this concerto. I mean, for Wynton to write a piece, I would say more than most composers, there are so many different directions he can take things in, given his extensive study of so many different styles throughout his life and his love of so many different styles of music from such a young age. So it was a long kind of intense back and forth for, I would say, a couple of months. Like, what do we actually want this concerto to look like?
The notes to your recording make it clear that this recording project is at least in part about bringing differing perspectives together and finding common ground amid diversity. Could you talk about what musical common ground you and Wynton Marsalis worked from on this project?
I think the musical common ground was through study and through imitation and through admiration. So we would listen to and share a lot of recordings that existed in a lot of different worlds. So he had me listen to a lot of early blues artists like Robert Johnson. He and I were both listening to Scottish traditional musicians like Ali Bain and Phil Cunningham. We also listened to, he would send me things of John Coltrane, he would send me things of Miles Davis, he would send me Duke Ellington pieces. For example, the opening of the blues movement is inspired by a very abstract blues that he knew, composition of Duke Ellington. Then from a kind of more technical standpoint, of course, I would bring to the discussions my extensive experience of other violin concertos. So we bought, you know, fresh scores of every single one of the violin concertos out there, and we would just work our way through each one of them and look at what are the moments that are most impactful. How do these composers negotiate the difficulty of balancing 60, 70 musicians, many of whom are playing instruments that project louder than the violin? How can you balance that with a violin without making the orchestra obsolete or just have them kind of tinkering their instruments? All of these kind of conversations went on, but they all centered around one main objective we had, which was to ensure, you know, the sophistication of the piece was never a question. I mean, Wynton's such a phenomenal musical mind that that was going to be in his music anyway, but we both had a lot of dialogue over the experience we felt audience members were going to have and the one that we wanted them to have.
Wynton Marsalis' Violin Concerto is not the first piece to blend jazz with classical music, and specifically in the concerto genre. Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue back in the 1920s did this, and shortly thereafter there were other pieces, including some by Gershwin himself, that also joined jazz and classical music.
What in this regard is unique about Wynton Marsalis's violin concerto?
I think it is entirely unique because he is a jazz musician that is also able to write for classical instrumentation. And that's an entirely different perspective. Where you come from and how you view the other through your experience entirely changes your perspective. And I don't know of another figure like him who is through and through a jazz musician, and that is his identity. It's what he has studied more than any other style of music, done more than anything else in his life in music, and also absorbed it and been around it with his father and with all the musicians around him when he was younger. So I think he sits in a unique position with regard to that, and how that manifests itself in comparison to other compositions I have played or that I've listened to. He's trying to not detach himself away from formal and harmonic and rhythmical fundamentals that are jazz and blues. And he is constantly grappling with the task and the challenge of clinging on to those fundamentals, but still making a piece successful for classical instrumentation.
Take us, if you would, on a tour through Wynton Marsalis's violin concerto.
The first movement is a dream nightmare sequence. It starts from nothing. It's like a breath. It's like the and before a story begins. It's a luscious melody that actually incorporates most things that you then hear throughout the piece. That takes us into a habanera. Then this nightmare breaks out where there is just utter chaos from the orchestra. Sirens and police whistles and a lot of noise from the percussion section. The first movement is actually in four sections, so it mimics the structure of the entire concerto. And the first movement also closes with a kind of farewell. I'm playing a little sweet kind of melody that could be played on an old pan flute or something, way up high in the instrument, and it disappears into nothing. The second movement is a rondo burlesque. It's extremely satirical, extremely colourful, a little bit Stravinsky-esque. Some of the alternate sections have that kind of unusual meters, like 5/8 and 7/8. A lot of effects like whistles and birds and inebriated members of the orchestra. Of winds everything down into a blues, which is a blues chorus format that takes you through each style. So one that's very abstract, to one that is more of a lullaby kind of chorale, one that is more seductive, extremely intimate, then one that is the church, so an all-out church congregation where the violinist takes the role of the preacher, and ends with something called the big sigh, which is probably my favourite moment of the whole concerto. It's so beautifully written and so vulnerable. Last movement is called a hootenanny, and that is what it says on the tin. It's an extremely raucous party where everybody begins with clapping and stomping their feet, and it's very much an argument between violin and orchestra, and ends with a typical jazz technique, which is a call and response, a kind of trading between one member and the other. And in this case, the violin is showing off techniques, the orchestra is showing off styles. And then we all come together in the end for a final dance in the style of ragtime.
Nicola Benedetti, your recording of Wynton Marsalis's Violin Concerto and Fiddle Dance Suite is now out on the Decca label. Thanks again for your time today.
Thank you so much. Thank you.